We're witnessing the birth of a new industry. I think it's one of the few times in our lives where we'll be able to watch actually an industry being born. And so I'll simply say this, which is I don't know if Clubhouse will ultimately be the winner in terms of the final player standing, but I think they stand a pretty good chance of being that winner. That being said, social audio, I believe, is really here to stay.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Guess who it is? Your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with yet another episode of The Fighting Entrepreneur. And today we have a repeat guest. He's crazy. He wants to step back into the ring with me. What's going on here? No, it's awesome. We're a really awesome topic today. I'm telling you, it's a topic I'm selfishly bringing in because I don't get it. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. Like, I genuinely want to learn. And that is, how do you make money on Clubhouse? This phenomenon. I think last time I heard they were worth like $4 billion, you know, dollars or whatever. You know, at this point, $4 trillion, who knows anymore? Everything's worth billions and trillions. But that's crazy. And I'm going to give a funny side story about Clubhouse in a moment about how I got immersed into it initially. It's not really funny, but it's an ironic story. It's a cool story. There seems to be a lot of people out there, just like with everything, right? There's even with crypto till this day, there's a lot of people that are completely like, crypto's going to die, not going to work. And I mean, you know, there's people in my life right now that still feel like Anik Singhal is never going to become successful. Like, it just is crazy. Like, with everything in the world, we have the two sides. With Clubhouse, you definitely have this dichotomy of people that are like, this thing is a fad. It's going to die. And then you have the people that are like, all right, well, then, you know, you're going to be left behind. So I want to explore this topic of what is Clubhouse? What is the future of it with what the top user of Clubhouse and the top expert I know, you know, a friend of mine, a very serial entrepreneur, a very successful entrepreneur, Steve Olscher. He's been on before. We spoke about podcasting. He is the founder of Podcast Magazine. He got his start at Liquor.com, which was a business he went on to sell. And I mean, he's rubbing shoulders nowadays because of Podcast Magazine with some of the biggest celebrities in the world. And just learning a lot. And when this Clubhouse app came out, I don't know, it seems like his radar went off, his sensors went off, and he was just going, you know, he went in full blown. And we're gonna talk to him about Clubhouse, how to use it, how to make money from it, and what's the future of it. So listen in. It's gonna be a very powerful episode for anyone who calls themselves a marketer. Now, before we can officially start, of course, few URLs, few things I want you to do. If you're on YouTube, you got to hit subscribe right now. You got to leave a comment, click like, take the URL at the top and then send it to everybody you know. Make it your mission for the next hour to just spam everybody with The Fighting Entrepreneur. I'm kidding. Only half kidding. All right. And then go to onikpodcast.com to binge listen to all of our episodes. Go to learn.com, LURN.com. Make sure you sign up. We got about 500,000 people now in this community. We are very close to massive features being launched. I'm talking about stuff that I've invested seven figures in that we've been building for a year and a half. It's going to be epic. Q3 and Q4 of 2021, you guys are finally going to start to see the vision I've had for Learn, the platform. No one knows it. No one sees it. All my friends are even like, what are you doing? It's coming. So get your free membership. Go to LURN.com and be a part of that revolution. All right. So I'm trying to see if there's anything else I want to get out there. Nope. Without further ado, let me tell you my quick story, and then we're going to bring Steve on. I had major, major surgery mid-December of 2020. And let's just say, you know, COVID time, worst time to have surgery because you're alone. You're in the hospital. There, no one can visit you. And I had a really, it was tough. It was a tough recovery. So I was in the hospital for about a week alone post-surgery, or like 5-6 days. Got out, made it home for 3 days. Major complications, got rushed back to the hospital. Was back again in the hospital for 3-5 days. And it was tough. I got bored out of my mind, right? Like TV, okay. Internet, you're just tired. You're on meds. You're in pain. You're not going to like work. And I get home finally, right? Things are good. I'm fine. Thank you for, if you're wondering, like I'm all right. It's all good. And the first day I get home, I get a message from, I think, I want to say it was either Anthony or Adrian Morrison, one of the two brothers. Doug, have you heard of this thing called Clubhouse? You want to join my Clubhouse room? What is this Clubhouse? And I download this app, and I swear the rest is history. Like, it was a blur for about a week and a half or 2 weeks. Here's the thing, though. I was in a weird time in my life. I wasn't working, so I wasn't scheduled to get back to work until mid-Jan or third week of Jan. And I was going to honor that. Like, I really didn't want to work. I didn't have the right mindset, the right brain. I was on pain meds. I didn't want to work. And I'm in bed half the time. I'm just lying around. And it was just, I got to a place where, like, Clubhouse was on my iPad, sitting on my bed while I'm, like, doing stuff on my phone, keeping me company. I'm in these rooms. I start getting all these followers. I start getting invited to people's rooms. It's a lot of fun. Then I'll say, like, third week of Jan, I came back to reality, came back to life. And I think I over-clubhoused, so I burned out like many. But then also, like, I got to a place where I got busy again. So now I've not been on Clubhouse. As a matter of fact, I logged in recently, so I had, like, 15,000 followers. I was shocked. Like, where? But it was cool, though. Like, I had conversations on Clubhouse directly with some pretty big celebrities, people that I was actually impressed, like, oh my God, they know who I am. So fun side story, I did stop using it. I did burn out on it, but I'm not bearish on it. Like, I'm still curiously watching. I feel like Clubhouse has a huge potential, but I just haven't figured out where it fits in my business and in my life. And maybe today I will. So Steve, sorry, I know I talked a lot there, but I wanted everyone to know, like, because people do wonder, hey, Anik, you went into Clubhouse hard and then you got out. Well, yeah, you know, that was why. Two reasons. One, my life, personally, it was a great fit at the time. I actually wish I found it about 10, 12 days before I did, because it would have been a great thing to keep me company in the hospital. Like, I really feel like that would have been helpful. But having said that, Steve, thanks so much for being here today to reveal your secrets. You've been crushing it. I'm going to let you give your own stats. You're literally, I mean, you just told me before we started, your group, you have a group on Clubhouse, and I think call them pods or... I'm not sure.
It's a club.
It's a club? Okay.
It's a club on Clubhouse.
Yeah, it's a club on Clubhouse. You're about to have 60,000 people inside of it. I don't know, man. You're doing some crazy stuff. So, Steve, if you don't mind, we're going to do the oath, because we always do the oath of the fighting entrepreneur. And that is, you raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Steve Olsher. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
Do tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
And reveal my Clubhouse secrets. All right. Take it away, man. First of all, you're doing killer stuff. Tell us about what you're doing. Tell us, you know, you just talk. Like, what do you think about Clubhouse? Where's it going? What's going on? How do you make money from it? Like, I'll interject when I want to, but I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to take notes.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, look, first and foremost, we're witnessing the birth of a new industry. I think it's one of the few times in our lives where we'll be able to watch actually an industry being born. And so I'll simply say this, which is, I don't know if Clubhouse will ultimately be the winner in terms of the final player standing, but I think they stand a pretty good chance of being that winner. That being said, social audio, I believe, is really here to stay. And so what...
Is that the industry? Social audio?
Audio is the industry. Some people call it drop in audio. Most people refer to it as social audio. And so, you know, I've been in the audio landscape for a long time as a podcaster since 2009. We've done events around podcasting. We help people launch shows. Of course, you mentioned Podcast Magazine and so on, right? So I've been a fan of the medium of podcasting for well over a decade. And when I first came across Blog Talk Radio back in the day, I thought, you know, that looks pretty interesting. It's kind of like talk radio, but online. You come into Blog Talk Radio and you have an opportunity to see all these different conversations going on, and you join them, you don't, you join them, you don't, whatever it might be. And I felt like there's a really good opportunity here to have that sort of dialogue with people across the globe. And it's kind of like having your own radio station. But Blog Talk Radio was really early, right? And so bandwidth wasn't great, the connection wasn't great, didn't sound great, but I liked the concept. So right out of the gate, I felt like there was an opportunity to do something for someone in the world of audio. So what ended up happening was in late 2018 or so, Gary Vaynerchuk actually started talking about an opportunity for somebody to come in and do something. And he really felt like audio was the next frontier. And lo and behold, here we are in 2020, and the team that ended up launching Clubhouse had done some other things, kind of dancing around the audio space, and really ended up hitting a home run with this new phenomenon known as social audio, where basically people from across the globe have the ability to connect with nothing more than the phone in their hand and use that phone in their hand to start their own conversations with people who also have access to the app. And it's almost like Blog Talk Radio in terms of what they were trying to do, but it's app driven, right? So it's on an iOS device. You download the app, you come in, and because they were able to attract a lot of venture capital out of the gate in terms of people in Silicon Valley, those folks who were really into that world, I don't mean in terms of their raise, because their big raise didn't come until later, but in terms of the tech world, they had a lot of tech influencers from Silicon Valley and the venture capital world start using the platform. And interestingly enough, they had a lot of folks from the Black community start coming in and using the platform, and a lot of celebrities. So it was like those three pockets.
Oh.
It was the venture capital world in terms of users, it was the celebrities, and it was a lot of folks in the Black community.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. I knew about the venture capital community, but what specifically was, and I guess I know about celebrities to a degree, but with the Black community, was it the social cause? Was it the discussion around all the social issues, or like why that community specifically? Do you know?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So Tiffany Haddish was one of the early users on the platform, and she built it up a pretty good following. And my thinking is perhaps Tiffany has started talking to some people, and there were some others that started talking to some people. And so Joe Budden, who's the podcaster, right? He was early onto the platform, and I believe between Joe and Tiffany and a few of the other early users, it just started to spread throughout the African American, throughout the Black community. So a lot of users were kind of going down the hip hop conversations and conversations that were very specific to the Black community. And so because it was invite only and continues actually to be invite only, a lot of those invitations were going to people in one of those three groups. Again, the Black community, celebrities, and venture capital, sort of techie type people.
Very mesmerizing. Okay.
Yeah. When you have those influencers, right, who have, well, venture capital folks obviously have the ears and the attention of people who are interested in what's now, what's new, and what's next. Then, of course, celebrities have a lot of followers. And then the Black community has a lot of influence, you know, amongst obviously itself, and word spreads quickly. I think it was one of the reasons why come November of 2020 and December of 2020, you started to see the numbers spike pretty decently, because it was the only place, and especially with COVID and everything else going on, with everybody just being homebound and you can't really go out and do anything, it was like the only place to have these raw and real and authentic conversations and connect with people who are saying things that you've been saying for God knows how long, and now you've got all these voices, and it's just like, okay, now they're saying the same things that I'm saying. And it just became this really, really close-knit, interesting community of folks having really interested and diverse conversations. And as word began to spread outside of those communities, that's when it really caught like wildfire. And I came across it in early December of 2020. And I was like, well, holy cow, this is something that I think has tremendous possibility. Because for the first time, literally anyone with a phone in their hand has the ability to lead really interesting, in-depth, or even just really stupid conversations. And unlike podcasting, where there are a lot of steps that are involved with releasing a podcast episode, with social audio, all you do is hit a button and you lead your own conversation. And so it was the perfect timing of the convergence of trends. And as more and more people kind of started looking at, okay, all these podcasts are really highly produced, they're highly polished, they're like these, you know, just these pieces of content that I can't touch, right? And then you've got the video folks and folks who have all this high production and video and so on. So there's this gap on it between the haves and the have-nots, where there's only a select number of people who can create this really awesome, amazing sort of content, but the majority of the people can't. Right. And so that cavern got to be really big. And when it gets to be too big between the haves and the have-nots, it begins to implode in and of itself, on itself. And that's ultimately what I believe happened here in social audio, was like, we can just have a raw, real, authentic conversation that's unscripted, unpolished, unproduced, and I can begin attracting people who like what I have to say with nothing more than a phone in my hand. And that's where some of that early traction really kicked in.
So first of all, thank you. That was I didn't even know we were going to get a history lesson here on the app. That was really intriguing. It was just cool to see kind of where it came from. I want to give everyone a real quick visual of what Clubhouse is, because I got to be honest with you, when I first heard about it and there were people who were trying to explain it to me, like, unless you've been in it, it may not make sense. So I'm going to give you a visual of how it works. So you download this app, you sign up for an account, takes like 30 seconds, and then you're in. And when you're in, there's rooms, okay, that you just click. If you click into the room, you're suddenly entered into the room and you're listening to what's happening in the room. So it's, imagine like you're in the car, you know how you can flip through radio stations and you just like start listening to it. So it's just like, but you see a list of it and there's categories. So you can kind of like look through categories, you click into a room, but when you click into a room, you can't talk. You can just listen. So it's not like you're going to have 1,000 people in a room or something just talking to each other. You can just listen. Now, you could be invited to become a moderator or a panelist. And if that's the case, now you can. Now, you, every time you want to talk, you just hold a button down and you talk. And that can get kind of crazy, because I've been in rooms where there's like, you know, 50 of them, and it's a little nuts. But you can also click another button and create your own room. So when you click that button, it's just going to be like, what's the title? What's the description? Who do you want to invite to moderate? And go. And voila. You are live. Now, if you've built following, like if I went live right now, okay, I guarantee you I would get 50 to 100 people it logged into the room pretty quickly. Because there will, notifications will go out. People will see, people who are following me will be like, oh, Anik opened a room. Especially if I use a different and interesting topic, I'll get people to log in for sure. I've actually been thinking about using Clubhouse. So I launched a new newsletter recently, Steve. And so I was like, my whole goal with this newsletter is I want to drive membership to it that's highly qualified and people that join, but I don't want to do paid traffic. So I'm going to do everything free. I've just never done much free traffic. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, it could be a fun case study for Clubhouse. Like, this could be where I actually like really give Clubhouse a go and a test. But everyone, that's it. It's as simple as that. And you'll be surprised and shocked how people just find you. They end up in your room. And they're like, what's going on here? And then, you know, you can, I've done it where I've said, hey, if you're in my room, like if you want to get email notifications about me doing a Clubhouse, like send me an email here just to see what, and I'll get like 60% of the people to go out of their way, open an email app and send me an email. Like, it's a really engaged audience. Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, you have been in it from day one. So I'm going to start with this question and then we're going to move to how to make money from it. First of all, Steve, obviously, you're on the side of, you think Clubhouse is going, you must be bullish on it. You think it's going to work. But are any doubts in the last months? Do you feel like maybe it's not going to be as big? Like, they just launched the Android app. So, I mean, how's it going? Like, what are your take on the future of Clubhouse specifically? Not the industry, but Clubhouse as an app.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it is really interesting to see what's going on in the industry as far as social audio, when you've got Twitter Spaces and you've got Fireside and you've got other players coming in, right? That to me, again, bodes really well for the future of social audio. You've got money being invested. As you said, Clubhouse raised $100 million at $1 billion valuation, then raised another round like 30 days later at a $4 billion valuation, right? So, you have a lot of smart money. When I say smart money, I mean venture money, right? Because venture capitalists aren't dumb. They know an opportunity when they see it. They're looking for a 10x, 20x, 50x, 100x type return on their money. They're not dropping $100 million into something that they don't want to see $1 billion or $4 billion or, you know, whatever it is back on that, period, end story. So you got a lot of smart money going into the space. That's a good sign. And again, is it Clubhouse that'll end up being the winner? I don't know, but some player will come out of this as having the dominant position in this new industry of social audio. So I am bullish on social audio. What I'm not quite clear on is whether or not Clubhouse will be able to recover from some of the initial issues that they've had. Their app has been buggy, right? I mean, and I've been in the tech world for a long time, and I've seen a lot of things come and go in the tech world. And I will tell you that if you have a bad UI, bad user interface, and a bad customer experience, there's no faster way to kill a product than to treat your customers poorly, right? But they're doing the best that they can. They're catching up. And I will say that Android's been a godsend for them. But, you know, look, it's been invite only. It's still in beta. They're still working out bugs. It was glitchy yesterday, right? So it remains to be seen. They're trying to spend their way through their problems by hiring the people that can help them. And we'll see what happens. But in February, there were 9 million downloads of the app. In April, there were 900,000. So that is not a great trend line. You don't go from 9 million to 900,000 and sit back and go, I need to be bullish on this. Wow. However, they launched Android. They open it up to all of the countries now in terms of Android being able to use the platform. It is still invite only, which is something that they really need to start looking at in terms of how quickly can we take this down. And they did open up monetization features for the creators. So there's a lot of great things happening. But again, I want you to understand that anytime you have the birth of a new industry, there's going to be ebbs and flows. There's going to be a lot of interest and there's going to be no interest. A lot of interest and then no interest. And we saw that with, I mean, even YouTube as an example. I mean, YouTube, if you look at how, just if you look at the numbers for YouTube, there were years where it did really great and then years where it came down. And then all of a sudden, like in the last couple of years, it's been a huge resurgence again. Like everybody is like, I got to be on YouTube, you know? Yeah. And so it's just the nature of technology. But what I would say is that overall, until proven otherwise, I'm still really bullish. We did a room yesterday that we scheduled just a couple of days before. And with very little notice, with just a couple of tweets, nothing really major from a marketing perspective, we put over 1,000 people in that room that lasted around 75 minutes. You do live events, man. You know how hard it is to put 1,000 people in a room and what the cost is to put 1,000 people in a room. To be able to do this in a couple days' notice and just simply open up a device on your phone and start talking, I mean, what's your cost on that? Other than your time, it's zero.
No, I mean, I logged in right now while you were talking. By the way, I have 7 invites. If anyone wants, I don't know, get a hold of me somehow. Getting 1,000 people in a room is freaking hard. So
you've had 8,000 people in a room, man.
Yeah, that's
1,000, 4,000.
That's, you know, I'll tell you guys right now, if I want to get 1,000 people in a room, I'm going to do it through media buying, just so you can understand the value of those ears. I am going to spend a minimum of $30,000 to $40,000 if I'm doing only media buying. It's going to be,
That's not the venue. That's not the block. That's not food and beverage. That's not AV.
No. That's just
marketing.
Well, so for now, I was thinking webinar only, right? So I don't have any of those costs. So I'm trying to do. So you've got 1,000 people in a room listening to you. You've got their ear. If I want to get 1,000 virtual people listening to me, I'm going to spend, if it's only on ads, I'm going to spend about $30,000 to $40,000. That's a freaking lot of money. If so, for people who are investing into it, bullish, bearish, who cares? If right now you can go in and build a presence, because I just logged in, the rooms I'm seeing, first one's got 245, you got 164, then you got another one with 421, then 384, 348, 348, 339, 262, 236, 205. I mean, come on, even a couple hundred people, like, this is huge. And so that is exciting to hear, by the way, that's still happening. So let's move the conversation now into the part you've put together a great resource about this, and I definitely want you to link drop it. And I guess maybe we can get a synopsis of it. How do you turn, like, someone right now is listening and they're going to go get on Clubhouse today. Like, they're just going to join. They're not a Steve. They're not an Onik. They don't have a following. How would you help guide them, or what ideas would you give them about monetizing Clubhouse?
Yeah. So one of the things that I really encourage people to think about is, and this is for Clubhouse, but this actually works outside of Clubhouse as well, which is you have to be able to start with the fundamental question of what conversation do I most want to be a part of, right? From the standpoint of, if you think about it this way, Anik, like if you go to a conference and you walk into a conference room and there are 10 tables in this room and there are 10 chairs at each of those tables, 9 of those seats are spoken for and there's one open seat at each of those tables. On top of the of each table in the middle, there's a table tent. And on that table tent, there's a word, which is covering the subject in terms of what the conversation is about at that table. So maybe one table tent is about marketing, and one table tent is about finance, and one table tent is about sports, and one is about, you know, business, and one's about relationships, whatever it is. You cannot sit, I mean, like if you think about physics, right? I mean, two physical objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time, period. Well, same thing with you. You cannot sit at more than one table, right? You have to choose where to sit. So this is the first step. And you're probably going, what the hell does a conference or whatever and table tents have to do with Clubhouse? Well, it's the first step because you have to figure out what puts fire in your soul? What can you talk about till the cows come home? What do you want to be known for? If you're going to elevate your status and your credibility and authority, in what realm are you going to want to do that? Because ultimately, when you look at the table tents, you're going to sit down at one of those tables and you're going to start talking about that subject. And someone's going to look at you and they go, wow, man, Anik really knows his stuff about online marketing. Like, that's the guy. I want to connect with him, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all well and good if you're in that room, right? But your ultimate goal is for your name to come up in that conversation, even when you're not in the room. And so what does this have to do with Clubhouse? What this has to do with Clubhouse is really figure out what that table tent says for you in terms of where do you want to focus your efforts? How do you want to be known? And what is that one or two word description that encapsulates, again, your subject matter expertise? And I'm saying this because that's how specific you want to get. When I walk into a Clubhouse room, and that's obviously a, you know, not a literal term, but when I go into a Clubhouse room, because I have branded myself as the podcasting person, and everywhere I go, you see the Club Pod image. And now we have people who also have the Club Pod image and they rep the club, and that's a different story. But because I have invested time onto the platform, establishing myself as someone who really knows his stuff about podcasting, again, that's my table tent word, that's the first place to start. Because now I go into a room, and if they want to have someone speak on that subject, or they know that I can add value to that conversation, they're going to bring me up onto their stage. But that only happened because I decided, you know what? Podcasting is my topic of influence. It's the conversation I most want to be a part of, and it's really where I want to hang my hat. So for most lay people who don't have the ability to say, oh, I've got a million person database and I can just email them and start building my following, or I've got 100,000 people on IG or whatever that follow me there, if you're starting kind of at ground zero or not very far down the path, you got to make sure that people know who you are and really understand the value that you bring to the table. So that's really step one on it, is really just you got to decide who you want to be in the world of social audio so that people can literally put you in that hole, because at the end of the day, that's what works. So, you know, I'm going to stop there because I don't want to just turn this into a diatribe, but just let me simply stop and say that's step one.
Okay. No, makes perfect sense. Pick your topic, be specific, and that's where you're going to hang your hat. So let's say I've done that. Let's use me as a case study, I guess. Copywriting. I've decided that's my thing. I want to teach copywriting, talk about copywriting, help people with their copywriting. What's next?
Yeah. So what's next is you go into the hallway, which is what Anik was describing earlier, which is when you first come on the Clubhouse, the first thing you want to do is you want to start following people. You have to follow people in order for your hallway, quote unquote, to be populated. Because what you see when you go on to Clubhouse and the experience that you have when you go into Clubhouse in terms of the rooms that you are exposed to are going to be based upon the interests that you've identified, the people that you follow, and the clubs that you are a part of, right? So if I'm Anik and I want to be known as this person in copywriting, Now I'm going to make sure that I first type copy into the search box to find any person who has copy in their profile, because that's going to then populate. And then I want to find any club that has copy in the profile, because then that's going to populate. So at least I start to know who the players are. And if you're thinking like, well, why would you want to follow them? Or why would you want to be in the same sort of red ocean, if you will, of all these other people who are in a copy? The answer is because you want to start listening first. You know, it's like one mouth, two ears. You got to start listening to what the conversations are that are going on around copywriting, so you can really start to get a sense of what value can I bring to the table and what's my differentiator. So that would be the next step, man, is to start following people, start going into clubs, see what gets populated into your hallway, and then start listening. And that is the most important step that a lot of people just won't take the time to do, which is to spend a week or 2 weeks or a month really just listening first and getting a sense of what do I have to do here from a foundational perspective to build my profile the right way, to have the right image, to understand what other people are doing, and what can I do different so that I can begin building up my own following and eventually have my own club.
Interesting. It reminds me of an episode I did with Jeff Lerner from EntreNation, who's gone from zero to like 70 million a year now in like 2 years, less than that. And I was like, how the heck, though? What the heck? And he spent half the episode talking about just this, listening. He says, actually, it's not 2 years. It's almost 3 years. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, the first year I was officially in business without generating a single dime in revenue. And all I was doing was posting videos up with different titles and different trigger words and different subjects and posting them on social media and boosting them for $100 and trying to see which ones went the most viral, which ones got the cheapest views. And he was taking notes and studying and understanding trigger words of the industry, what people were reacting to. And then he was able to take that. And when he launched his course, he knew what to put in his video sales letters and what to put in his ads and what to put in his copy. And I'm like, that's freaking brilliant. But there are very few people patient enough to do that, myself included. I'm not sure if I'm, you know, that patient, but there's genius behind it. And you're saying, hey, just take a week. You know, what are people doing? What are people talking about on Clubhouse? So I love it. So let's go to step three. So let's say I've been on now. I'm following people. I got some people following me. I've been in some rooms. I'm listening. What would you say next after a week or so of doing that?
So you definitely want to make sure that you're looking at all the different profiles, see what the people are doing, how they're wording it. I mean, the first three lines of a profile are going to be most important, because those are the three lines that are going to come up when somebody sees your little face and then they tap on you. It's kind of a funny term, but, you know, they tap on your face, right? And that's where they get to see who you are and what you're about. And ultimately, you just want to make sure that you optimize your profile so that it really speaks to the expertise that you bring to the table, what it is that makes you different, and why people want to connect with you and follow you. So get your profile in order and then start opening your own rooms. And much as your guest Jeff said, I mean, it's really just a huge experiment, right? I mean, you have to look at it as data. And ultimately, as entrepreneurs, and Anik, this is what I believe to be true, is that more than anything else, the business that we are in as entrepreneurs is the business of collecting data. Mm-hmm. Like, that is our primary business. Above and beyond anything else, we are in the business of collecting data. Data is meaningless, right? It doesn't mean that this was wrong, this was right, this was success, this was a failure. None of that is, there's no meaning to what happened. It's all just simply data. And I'm bringing this up because this is your opportunity to be adventurous. This is your opportunity to be courageous. This is your opportunity to be bold, to do things that maybe you wouldn't do elsewhere on any other planet, especially, you know, when you have to spend money on another platform to make that happen, right? So start opening up some rooms and just see what sticks. Have some crazy names, have some crazy titles, do things that you wouldn't do anywhere else, and see if anybody shows up. And sometimes nobody will show up. And other times you'll start seeing people, especially as your following is a bit smaller and it begins to grow, you'll start to see that a couple people trickle in and then a couple more and a couple more and a couple more. But I will say that no matter what size your following is, you always want to be experimenting with opening up your own rooms with different titles and descriptions, because ultimately that'll give you the data that you need to figure out where that sweet spot is for you to really excel on the platform. And so the rooms, right? I mean, the rooms are next, and get good at leading conversations, because the reality is not everyone is great at leading conversations, and that takes practice. So you got to, again, for the first week, go in other rooms, listen, see how they're doing it, and then start throwing things at the wall and see what sticks when you open your rooms, and practice being a really good leader in that room.
Got it. All right. Love it. So a couple questions. In these rooms, do you do any call to actions? Do I try to get them subscribed to a list? Do I sell them a product? Do I tell them to go follow me on social media? Any of that? Like, at some point, you know, am I trying to monetize them, or, you know, what am I doing in the room as far as call to actions go?
Great question. And it really depends, man, on is it your room or not, right? Like, if you had a live event, so if you think about it from that standpoint, if you had a live event, Anik just spent 6 months putting 1,000 people in a room, probably spent $500,000 on the hotel, food, you know, AV, team, the whole nine. And Anik's kind enough to allow me to speak on his stage. And I walk up and I'm like, thanks, Anik. I really appreciate it. Hey, go buy my crap in the back of the room. Like, you'd slap me off the stage, right? So there's etiquette. And one of the things that you have to become familiar with is what's the etiquette going on this particular platform. And obviously a huge part of the etiquette is it is very much a value add, give first type of platform. And the people that do best on the platform actually aren't very salesy. And the people that are more slimy and salesy and you know, kind of take that approach to it, it may work in the short term, but it's not a good long-term plan. So when it's someone else's stage, like if we do a Clubhouse room and Anik invites me up, it's his room, he started it, I am simply a contributor on a panel, which is the best way to think about it. Anik's show, I'm a contributor on a panel. If I get up there and start, you know, hawking my stuff, Anik's never going to invite me back. The audience is going to be like, this guy's a cheese ball, and that bridge is going to be burned. Right. So when it's somebody else's stage, unless the host specifically says to you, Anik, hey, man, this has been amazing. If people want more information, you know, where should they go? What should they do? Unless you say something like that, you absolutely never, ever, ever.
So let's assume it is your own room. So when you have your own room, do you send them elsewhere? Do you say, hey, guys, sign up for my list, sign up for my this, or sign up for my that?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Right. Okay. And so that's where it really boils down to understanding why are you on the platform also, because some people just simply want to have a presence on the platform to elevate their status, to build their credibility, to build their authority. And that's OK. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're looking to create, let's just say you want to attract highly targeted leads and you want to be able to generate revenue from your efforts, then absolutely you want to make sure that you have a plan of action in place for monetizing your investment of time and energy on the platform. So there's a few ways to do it, right? I mean, first and foremost, if I go on to your stage, or even if we're just talking about in my own room here, if I'm adding a lot of value and people are coming up and they're asking questions, I almost, if I'm doing my job as a subject matter expert, I almost don't even have to tell people to go do something. They're going to click on the profile. They're going to go to whatever that says. And typically, just like you would on IG or anywhere else, you're going to have something on your profile, which is going to be like, hey, if you want a free copy of this, or if you want to grab this, DM me, send me an email, go to this website, whatever it might be. So your profile obviously is going to be optimized for whatever that call to action is. And then you can be a little more blatant about it. And you can say, look, you know, we've covered a lot of ground here. I've shown you how to write a killer sales page. If you want my team and I to write a killer sales page for you, tap on my face, go to my IG, DM me the word sales page. I guess that's two words. DM me the word sales page right now, and my team and I will be in touch. So you can be, obviously demonstrate your expertise, and you do that, and folks
Can I ask you a question about that? I want to ask you a question. Where did this DM me on Instagram trend start? Why is Clubhouse so connected to Instagram? Because let me tell you this. I don't not even know how to check my DMs on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. My team posts for me sometimes, I think. I don't know. And the first time I had to go figure out how to do a DM was because on Clubhouse, everybody is like, DM me on Instagram. Yeah. What is the connection? Did someone just start that and it got caught on and that's a thing now?
So it is interesting and it's a great point. And there's just so much to go over. And there's a lot of nuance to the platform, of course. And one of the things and one of the reasons why I do believe that social audio has legs, is here to stay, and is really scalable and sustainable, is because of the fact that they're doing a lot of things that the other platforms aren't doing, right? Or vice versa, from the standpoint of there are no likes, there's no dislikes, there's no comments, there's no trolling. As you said, the only time you can even really participate in the conversation is when you are invited up onto the stage or you raise your hand and the moderator brings you up on stage to contribute. And then if you start kind of jerking, you know, just being a butthead, they can just move you back down to the audience and get you out of there pretty easily. So a lot of the stuff that takes place on other platforms can't and doesn't take place on Clubhouse. So there is no way for me, if you open a room, Monik, there's no way for me to contact you directly on Clubhouse, which I actually think is a good thing. Now, they may be changing that in the future. We'll see what happens. But the reason why all of that started is because on your profile on Clubhouse, typically you include your Twitter profile and your Instagram profile. And those are the only ways that others can get in touch with you by going to your profile, scrolling down, they see your Instagram, Onyx and Gull, whatever, tap on that and then message you. And that is the way you can communicate with people who come into your rooms or your clubs. Yeah.
You're right. I remember when I was filling my profile, putting the right Instagram, it was a kind of a way to confirm too that, oh, you know, I remember with Damon John, is that the real Damon John? Well, you go to his profile and you see, is it the blue checked Instagram profile? That makes sense. So for anyone listening, I just want to give you this tip. If you're a coach, consultant, or anyone that sells an offer for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000, $20,000, I've seen this done again and again and again and again and again during the 2 weeks that I was hyperactive. And it worked really well. And I spoke, some of them were friends that I spoke to. I said, is this working? They said, it's really working. They'd be in rooms. They'd offer great value. They'd be, you know, they'd create their own rooms, offer great value. And they would constantly say, hey, if you want to talk to me about this, I'm happy to talk to you, get on a call, won't charge you anything, DM me on Instagram. So that means, for those of you who don't know what that means, it means directly message me on Instagram. I eventually... Me being the oldie I am, I eventually was just like, here's my email address. Email me at this because I'm not going to mess around with DMing on Instagram.
Here's my fax number.
Yeah. send me a snail mail to my office at this address. But the thing is, what would happen, you are just getting a hyper-targeted lead. It's like, here's a lead and then here's a lead. Like, this person's basically ready to go. And I knew friends that were making 10, 20 grand a day. Right now. The thing is that well got tapped, and so it dried up a little bit too, because there is some repetition of people kind of in that audience, so you want to get out. This is back then, so it's bigger now, but just so you're thinking, like, if you've got stuff, you can do that, and you can be very clear, like, hey, I've got something like this. If you want to talk about it, DM me. You might only get 5, 6, 10 DMs, but you're going to close 70% of them. And when the one time I did something where I was really testing it, I had 500 people in a room, and I was like, hey, for anyone who's interested, you want to hear about my future clubhouses and, you know, whatever, send me an email to XYZ email address and I'll put you on the list. It was like a last sec. I just like threw it together and I got like 220 people on that one. I specifically remember 500 in the room, 220 people sent me their email address. I was like, wow, that's high. Those people went out of their way. Forget an opt-in. They went out of their way. So those 220 people on my list would be worth the equivalent of 2,000 the traditional way. I'm telling you, they're just that much more engaged. So I wanted to kind of pivot and let everybody know you can monetize a room, especially if you have that high ticket. I want to, just because of interest of time, Steve, I want to pivot a little bit and talk about, so we've talked about rooms, we've talked about start your own rooms, you know, get them off the platform if you can, get them into following you, and then, you know, position offers to them in those other areas if you can. Clubs. Not everyone can create a club. You have a club. What is a club? Your club has 60,000 members. Do you make money from that? Has that revenued for you? Like, how are you generating revenue, I guess, is a question I would ask from Clubhouse.
Yeah. Great question. So things have changed a bit, my friend, since you were back last on the platform, right? Yeah. So that was one of the biggest complaints is when we first started on Clubhouse, you had to actually petition, so to speak, for them to allow you to open a club. And of course, as their platform grew and their number of users grew, that became impossible for them to manage. So now, and let me just say this, which is I believe that on Clubhouse, having your own club is really the ultimate goal because it's called Clubhouse for a reason. And the algorithm supports and rewards those rooms that are hosted within particular clubs. And so what we did very early on is we created a club specifically for the podcast industry, kind of an offshoot of what we do with Podcast Magazine. The goal of the club, which ultimately became Club Pod, it was really just to continue the mission of the magazine, which is to elevate the podcast industry and tirelessly support its growth one room at a time. And so when we decided, you know what, let's go ahead and petition for a club here, we really felt like there's going to be a huge opportunity to do something that's more niche specific. We could have done a broader room, something more business or marketing or whatever it might be. But we felt like there the opportunity was to continue down the path of what we started this discussion around, which is just having clarity on the conversation that we most want to be a part of. And in one word, we answered that with the word podcasting. And so for us, Club Pod was really a no-brainer. And it turned out to be a really great name because it has club in it. And so it shows up in the search. And then obviously for podcasting, it shows up with pod, P-O-D. And so it was just, if I might say so myself, it was a good choice for a name, and it was fortuitous timing because we were able to get in fairly early. And so, yeah, man, we actually now have 60 Club Pod leaders that lead rooms almost every hour on the hour. And so our goal for Club Pod is almost to become sort of a cable channel, if you will, where every hour there's programming. And every hour, if you come into Club Pod, you know that you're going to be a part of a high-value conversation that's going to help you and elevate your game if you're a podcaster, or introduce you to new podcasters, or just you know, get involved in podcast culture, whatever. So whatever.
You turn the clubs into like a TV channel, audio channel, right?
But exactly.
Wow. And now you've got all these, now these people, they're volunteers. Are you paying them? Are they just, there's volunteers that say, hey, we'll go out, we'll create rooms, and we'll boast the brand of Club Pod. Do you have the ability to contact these people? Like, you don't get their contact information or anything, right? I guess it's just when you go live. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So now there's some, so if we're talking still about the monetization pieces, lots of ways to monetize. But I will say that because we have rooms going 24/7, one of the best ways that we're monetizing now is we have people who will literally do kind of room sponsorships, right? So like a takeover, so to speak, from a sponsorship standpoint. So we have people who pay us $2,500 to sponsor a single room. We charge $7,500 to do a takeover of the entire club for a day, and $25,000 to sponsor all the rooms for a week, right? So that's just kind of that's sponsor stuff that has nothing to do with moving people onto a mailing list, nothing to do with the sale of products, programs, and services, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But I will say that one of the things that is a little bit tricky about Clubhouse in terms of, well, if they don't send you an email, if 220 people don't send you an email, how do you get in touch with them? What do you do? Well, fortunately, now there's a lot of tools that have been developed. One of the ones that we use is something called Direcom, which has been hugely helpful for us. And so we literally have the ability to get stats on all of our rooms. We can see the people that came into the rooms. And we can export a spreadsheet of the people that were in those rooms. Now, it doesn't give us their email address, but it does give us their Instagram or their Twitter handle. And we then go out and have a VA reach out for them via DM and say, hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us in Club Pod. Did you have any questions, or tell us more about what you're up to? Or if you didn't grab a free copy of Podcast Magazine, let me give you a private backdoor link. So we've got different messages that go out from that. But the third-party tool gives us an opportunity then to target people who come into all of the Club Pod rooms. So on any given day between room one that starts at midnight and then room, you know, whatever it is, 23 that ends at 11 p.m., right? Just going through the full clock there. I mean, we can have 5, 7, 10, 20,000 people going through Club Pod on any one day, and sometimes much more than that.
Wow. That was awesome. What you just, okay, all right, let's unpack it. So someone who's sitting there, is thinking, man, I really want to start a business, because I get this question all the time. I really want to start a business. I want to make some money. I don't want to invest any money. I got time, people will tell me. Well, look at what Steve just created in 5 months. He created 60,000 people that are inside of a club. And he's got 60 people helping, 60 leaders helping him. He's created an asset that can generate $25,000 for a week of sponsorships. That's outside of the fact that he's also used it to build an audience and an email list and a following on other platforms to drive his podcast magazine more, which then means he can sell the ads inside that magazine for a lot more, attract bigger celebrities for the magazine, which will mean he can attract more money and more advertisers. It's a complete, you know, cyclical effect. And this, you can do this for anything. So pick a, like, for example, if I wanted to pick copy and I go and I just do this like club copy, you know, like I can go create this, and then eventually I'm going to have a bunch of people that are following me that are into digital marketing, that are into copywriting, that are into conversion. And there's going to be a bunch of companies out there that want to get in front of those kinds of people. And all of a sudden, so sponsorship is one way I can get those people off the platform and sell them into my higher ticket coaching and programs. That's one way. I could just take an offer I really like and just throw the link out for it. That's another way. The goal, I think the key is build a following. The key is get some volume of people. And that was why we spent most of time on those first 3-4 steps. It's just like, hey, get active, build following, get people liking you. Listen, once you got a lot of people in one place, that's the best problem. You can take that problem to anybody. Be like, hey, I have a lot of people about one topic. They love and trust me. Can I make money from them? It's like, please, I would love a student to come to me one day with that problem. That's awesome.
And let me also say, though, man, that some of the best rooms that I have been in terms of developing real relationships with people on the platform and in terms of being able to convert folks into prospects for our relevant products, programs, and services actually aren't the bigger rooms. Some of the best rooms that you can ever be a part of are the rooms that have 10 people or 15 people or 20 people or less. So if you open a room and you get 5 or 6 people in that room, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So don't feel like you have to have something along the lines of what we created with Club Pod to make this work for you. I have heard from countless people time and time and time again that the small rooms actually outperform the big rooms in terms of actual monetization and conversion, conversion rates. So yeah. Don't get discouraged, right? Yeah. There's an opportunity no matter where you are on that scale.
I love it. There's a lot more here. The first thing I got to tell everybody is you got to start following Steve. The best way to learn from him is to follow him. See what he's doing. All right. Lurk around him a little bit. Stalk him. It's okay. That's what he wants. He wants you to come check him out and check out what he's doing. Steve, can you drop every URL that you possibly can think of right now, from Podcast Magazine to Club Pod to, I know you have a free, you created a book or you did something about this. Please throw everything out there so that our listeners can benefit from it.
Yeah. So the best place probably to start is with our Crushing It with Clubhouse ebook.
That's the one.
And so Crushing It with Clubhouse, really detailed, goes through everything that we talked about here and much, much more. audiodomination.com/Steve3. So audiodomination.com/Steve3. That's where you can grab a free copy of that book. And then, you know, we've been talking about Podcast Magazine. So podcastmagazine.com/free is a private backdoor link to get a free lifetime subscription to the magazine. So podcastmagazine.com/free and audiodomination.com/Steve, and then 3. And those are two great places to start.
All right. Love it. I will tell everybody right now that I came into Clubhouse, not to borrow from that song, but like a wrecking ball. And then I fell right off of it. And so did many of my peers and friends when we all came in together and we all fell out together. But there's been a handful of people that have been very consistent and have really learned this platform from the ground up. And of all people I know, Steve is by far the most plugged in. Like right now, if I have a Clubhouse question, there is nobody else I would go to other than Steve. So you have an opportunity right now to grab this. I really think you should. If you want to figure out how you can monetize Clubhouse, it's a great opportunity. Worst thing that can happen to you is you start rooms that have lots of people in it and you build a following, get attention. And you know what? Maybe 6 months from now, a year from now, Clubhouse is gone. But if you were smart about it, you took that audience, you have the audience with you. Seriously. So for all of those people like, oh, Clubhouse is going to die, good for you, whatever. In the meantime, that it's still living and kicking butt, grab the audience out of it. All right, now you want to learn how to do that? audiodomination.com/Steve3. Grab the free book. And of course, podcastmagazine.com/free. I love it, actually. If you're not watching or if you're not reading the podcast magazine, it's really cool. Steve's the one thing he's been impressing me the most about the caliber of people that he's getting in front of. And then the interviews that you can read, it's really cool stuff. So Steve, congratulations on everything. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today. This is one of my favorite episodes so far, just because it really did enlighten me. Kind of got me, you know, I don't know. I might log into Clubhouse today a little bit and go play around. Like it kind of reinvigorated me a little bit on that. But thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And to everyone who's watching, come on, leave him a comment below. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe, click the thumbs up, click the like button, click whatever you can click. Click stuff. Algorithms, they like it. And then help send the fighting entrepreneur higher up the algorithms. All right. And having said that, go to onikpodcast.com, learn.com. Make sure you're signed up. Make sure you're binge watching our podcast. Make sure you're learning and make sure you get into Clubhouse. Listen, lots of people have invitations. Go to your Facebook profile and just post, I need an invitation to Clubhouse. I guarantee within 5 minutes you'll be in. So don't worry about the fact that you can't get in without an invitation. Just go download the app, start the process, get in there. Steve, thank you so much. And to the rest of you, remember what I say, when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Go out there, fight for your dreams, make it happen, everybody. Talk to you later on the next one.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.